Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. About to go around, behind enemy lines, talk to our guy Ron Slay of 104.5. 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. But before we get there, a little bit of update as to practice, the first practice of the week as we head towards that Titans game. Kyemi Fairbairn not practicing again with that quad.
Damn.
So we'll see. We'll see if that looks like it might be Matthew Wright again kicking this week. Jalen Petrie still not practicing. Tytus Howard is back.
All right.
Tytus Howard and Ed Ingram both back to practice today. So offensive line.
It could be the best version.
Back. Do we know what the best version is?
What we think might be the best version.
For whatever it's worth, Christian Harris is back. He was dealing with that shin injury. Cade Stover is back at practice and has been designated to return. That's right. Huge. We'll talk about that a little bit further. But the big one, C.J. Stroud is not practicing today. And DJ Bieniemy also made note of the fact that on top of him not practicing, he was still dealing with symptoms earlier in the week, which knowing the full process of returning from the concussion protocol, that feels like it's going to be a Davis Mills game on Sunday when the Texans go to Nashville. So let's do that exactly. Let's go to Nashville on the phone line as we go behind enemy lines. Talk to our guy, Ron Slay. He's a co-host of 3HL on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, and he joins us now. Ron, what's happening, man?
Man, I'm good, man. How you brothers doing, man?
Terrific.
We're doing pretty all right. You would understand why if you saw the way that the Texans were able to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat on Sunday. But of course, we're not here to talk about the Texans. We're here to talk about the Titans right now. And last time we talked, wasn't very exciting news. Has anything gotten better over there? Is the question I'll ask to start.
Well, first and foremost, man, I think it's more fun talking about what D'Amico Ryans and the Texans did in that fourth quarter to go out there and finish the game 26-0, dog. Mm-hmm. That's absurd. Like to watch him and understand the pulse that he has of that team and the way they fight for him. That's rare. You usually get that in college and things of that nature. Hard to get that around pros, man, especially when you're wavering in the win loss section. So. Shifting to the Titans, yeah, man, it's about the same, man. I think right now, if this was a stick-shift car, we get neutral, and we're just trying to figure out, are we going down the hill, or are we rolling backwards down the hill? One of the ways, we got to be going down at some point. Just hopefully the brakes work, man, and it's rough. The shining light for this team, man, is you. I heard you guys talking about practice. Calvin Ridley and Arden Key will return to practice today for the Titans, which is good news. Haven't seen those guys in quite some time. Big Jeff is supposed to be activated, won't practice today, but he's been tweeting and we've been hearing that he's ready to get back active after missing 3 weeks, you know what I mean, including this bye week. So that's some good light at the end of the tunnel if we're trying to talk about something good. Other than that, man, not sure what's good, you know, since you guys, we've lost the coach, you know what I mean? And, players.
A lot of it comes at you players, fast, man.
Man, I'm talking about it come at you real fast. So I will say, man, I do think they still have a bit of a hold on the locker room, you know, in these situations when you got one win. People can, you know, start, you know, thinking about vacation and staying healthy and all of these things. And then up here in Tennessee, we're not dealing with a dome stadium right now at this point. So that cold weather usually starts to play tricks on your mind and, you know, you start to hear guys being out. But I will say, man, it seems that guys are still fighting. Now, can that result into some wins or even more competitive games? Don't know about that yet, but we will see.
You mentioned the Titans are kind of stuck in neutral. What about Cam Ward since we last spoke?
Yeah, man, to me, it's a a back and forth with Cam Ward with me right now. I'm trying to figure out. I think his style of play and how it fits in this league. I thought for a second he'll go through 1 or 2 weeks, and it's like, okay, we're starting to turn the corner. You start to see flashes either at the beginning of the games or at the end of games that you think, okay, maybe this can carry over. And maybe it does for a quarter to the next game, but then it starts to revert back. And it's hard to get a handle on how successful he can be in this league, not only because of what he has around him right now, but because of the risk and the habits that can be formed through these bad times right now. So I think that's the biggest thing. You saw him start to revert back to drifting in the pocket a little bit more, starting to escape out the back of the pocket more instead of staying right there. And then when you're watching the film, you can see a pocket is there for him to step up into. But you can't blame him because you automatically go back to what your instincts are, what you've been taught since you were little. Mm-hmm. And that's escaping and trying to create something. And I think a lot of times the guys aren't on the same page, man. And you got to understand, Calvin really being out, Lockett being gone now, that's also new. So he's starting to depend on guys like DK and Elijah Manor and Gunnar Ham. And these are all rookies. So
Yeah. They're
all trying to grow together. But him, personally, I think it's a struggle right now, man. And this is what I was fearful of. I talked about it 2-3 weeks ago. I would be interested in if the Titans can hire a psychiatrist. Because, mm-hmm. like, dog, you as funny as it is, but at the same time, man, when you go through these rough times as a first, not only a first-round pick, but the number one overall pick, and you've been able to win everywhere you've gone up to this point, that can play tricks on your mind, you know, and mm-hmm. start thinking, like, man, can I play this game? Things not working out for me. And it's a struggle. So you got to be able to get over that mental hurdle. And I hope that doesn't begin to be a block for him.
Well,
and maybe he'll come out.
That's the perfect transition to the little follow-up I wanted to have with you on okay. Cam Ward. I'm old enough to remember David Carr taking 76 sacks, man. And I'm also of the opinion it ruined him, or at least it affected, mm-hmm. it affected him. I will stay with that. I'm 100% sure it affected his game long term. Cam Ward has 38 sacks, man, and he's on pace for, I think, 72, 73. How does that play in?
It's scary. It's scary watching it because we, like you said, going through that with Mills, we went through it with Ryan Tannehill. Like when that offensive line got bad, it was, we always compared it to the guy playing baseball with the yips. Like, you just can't get it. As simple as the routine throws may be, just everyday ball that you're used to playing, it's always a hitch or it's always a second guess. And we all know you can't play the game in that fashion. So hopefully, man, coming out of this bye week, things change up a little bit for him. Usually you can refresh and hit the reset button. But if this continues, I am very fearful, not only of the sacks and that change in this game, but you got to imagine at the end of this year, you're going to have another coordinator. Mm-hmm. And now, would that coordinator be an offensive guy? Would he be the head coach? Or will it be a guy that's looking to use this as a springboard job where in a year or two, he'll be gone? So it could all go downhill, man. And I would hate that for Cam Ward because I do think he has the potential to be a really good quarterback in this league.
We're talking to Ron Slay, host out there at 104.5 in Nashville, getting behind enemy lines to learn about this Titans game. And I'm interested for you, and honestly for your listenership, what is the confidence level in GM Mike Borgonzi and his capabilities? Obviously, the season isn't over, but you guys, I imagine, are looking mm-hmm. towards the future of what that team is. What is the confidence that him and the decision makers are going to make the right hire at head coach?
Yeah, I think when you look at Borgonzi, I think we all have hope that he can get it done looking at his pedigree, where he comes from with Kansas City, the way things are ran. The question that I bring up, in my opinion, is can you get the other guys out of the way? The other guys being guys like Chad Brinker. Because when you look at the holdover, Brinker is the only holdover for the regime that was gone. When Vrabel left, Rand Carthon was gone. Brinker is the last one outside of Burke Nihil who's over the operations as far as non-football operations. But Brinker is the last one. So you bring in a guy like Mike Borgonzi, and until this past week, this was the first time we had heard Borgonzi speak on his own at the podium and address things like a GM should. So if that's the way they're taking it, and he's going to be in the shadow of him being Chad Brinker, I think we're all in on it. Because you look at the draft class, he would get credit for this draft class that came in with DK being good, Gunnar Helm being good, Eligio Manor being good, all of these guys being able to, you know, have a potential to go for. Kevin Winston Jr. is another guy on the defense that he brought in. So you got to trust in what he's going to do. And I think if he's the one that's going to pick the coach, I think we're full-fledged behind them. The problem is when the water started getting muddy a little bit and you get other hands in there trying to deal. If my thing is, let the GM be the GM. Everybody else, please move out the way, because to this point, everybody else involved hasn't worked and or been fired. So let's stick with this, roll with him, and see what we can get. If not, then you go back to the drawing board. But I'm going to be honest, it ain't no more paper at the drawing board. I don't even know what we're drawing on.
Well, let me ask you this. Has Amy Adams shrunk? Is she capable of getting out of the way? Has she said anything about Callahan's firing? And what's the mood in the city and and maybe even the locker room with how she's handling everything?
Yeah, a lot of people want to hear her speak. I just don't think she's that type of owner. She trusts who she gets to handle the football duties, establishes a pecking order, and kind of just lets them go with it. When you look at the grand scheme of things, yes, she absolutely wants to win. Does she want to be a part of it as far as pulling the trigger on things to be that hands-on? I don't believe so. I think that's why she trusts the people that she hires. But where we are today, I think it would be great. I think it would be great, even if it was brief, to hear from her. Just for the simple fact of so much turnover that has happened and so many of the rumors that have been out there from Vrabel and people like who was in charge and all of that stuff. Like, it was a whirlwind, and we never heard anything from her. But me personally, I'm cool with not hearing from her. I just would like for her to be able to put the football people in place and let real football people handle it. No backroom deals, no people trying to weasel their way up or get close to somebody and have a relationship built. Leave it all football. If we can keep it at that, I think everything will be fine, and she'll be able to, you know, stand the background and be able to be a part of a successful franchise.
We're talking to Ron Slay, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. I do want to ask you more about the Titans. However, I'm going to be honest. My eyes are on a top 25 matchup happening there in the state of Tennessee. You got Vandy going to Neyland, and it's a sold out venue there. I know you're a Tennessee guy. Obviously, Vandy's in the city. Where do your allegiances lie in this? But then also, like, what are you anticipating from this game? Because it feels like Vandy's having quite a season themselves.
Oh, absolutely, man. Everything that Clark Lee has done, him being a Nashville kid, growing up here, being able to go to Vanderbilt and you know, go through the process of trying to get them back to where he envisioned that they could go. And I'm not sure many other people believe that they could even get there, but he's been able to do that. He struck gold with getting a guy like Diego Pavia, Jerry Keel, all these guys that he was able to get in and believe in the program and push in the same direction. So kudos to everything that they've built over there. My allegiance most definitely lies with Rocky Top. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I think, man, at this point in the season with Tennessee with three losses, we would love nothing more than them to win out and come up to Rocky Top, and that game be for all the Marbles, for them to go to the playoffs, and we end that dream. Like, that would warm my little heart. I promise you. Like, the Grinch would be happy on that one. I wouldn't even steal Christmas. I just let all the boys and girls have everything they want as long as we can get that one. But they do have magic, man. They do have magic in Diego Pavia. That is a one-of-a-kind player. Not sure what'll happen to the next level, but for what he has here, he got guys believing, and he always got some rabbits in the hat to pull out.
I'm glad you mentioned magic, because I'm sure that magic is going to try and find another year eligibility for that man.
Before we go,
I did want to ask you, I think we are probably in alignment that this should be a Texans win fairly comfortably. What in your mind is the path in which the Titans actually get a victory in this game?
Man, if the Titans get a win in this game, Calvin Ridley comes back, the hamstring's not a problem, Arden Key returns, and Arden Key can get pressure on whoever the quarterback is going to be, if it's going to be Stroud or whoever will be starting for you guys. Big Jeffrey Simmons would be back. Defense would be able to hold to about 13 points. If they go to 13, we'll be fine. And Campbell coming out to the bye can get things rolling. This offensive line could create holes for the running backs, Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears to get going, and you don't have any blunders going on. Even you may even have an opportunity for special teams to score again. But all of those things right there are on the Christmas list that I got on the way to the North Pole, and they can be out, so that'll be the only way. That'll be the only way the Titans pull this out. Or they could go and set the Nissan Stadium on 34th Street. We can get another miracle.
Appreciate you, Ron. Always a pleasure getting to talk to you. Have a good one, but not too good on Sunday.
No doubt, fellas. Good luck, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's Ron Slay, host of 3HL out there, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Always a pleasure to talk to him.
That was good stuff.
Damn shame that it's not as much fun to talk about his team, though. Ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame.
That's a shame.
Shame what they did
just
to that
just breaks
dog.
Your heart.
It sure does. Yes. All right, can you hear me smiling? You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's turn things over to Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so I got a story about a man in North Dakota who inherited $30 million and ended up missing shortly afterwards. And this has a crazy plot to it.
Wow.
Oh, this sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
I'm excited to take part in it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man, Figgy Fig, holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. So I ran across this story. It was a crazy story about a North Dakota couple with a plot twist I did not see coming. So 51-year-old Stephen Riley Jr. was afforded, he was entitled to a large inheritance of $30 million.
Whoa, I thought you were going to say like $30,000. All right,
that's like mega millions.
$30 million. Now, shortly after learning about this, he disappeared.
With the money?
I'm going to get to this story.
Okay, I was like, I want to ask questions, but I want to let you cook.
Because I might do the same thing with the money.
That's what I was like.
Whatever happened to Lopez?
This is either nefarious or he did the smartest thing in the world.
Yeah. He disappeared. So here's the story about this guy and what the hell happened.
Yeah.
Boyfriend and girlfriend, they've been together for 10 years. The man found out that he inherited $30 million and his girlfriend found out that he was planning on leaving her. He starts feeling ill. Well, you guessed it, he dies. And you guessed it, she poisoned him. Miss Knoyer, such a Dakota name, not quite easy on the eyes, thought that her boyfriend of 10 years, if he inherited this $30 million and then suddenly died, that she would be able to inherit the money because of a common law marriage law. The problem is, she failed to check if North Dakota actually had this law.
Oh,
and North Dakota doesn't have the law. The bigger plot twist, this inheritance that this guy got was an email scam.
Oh.
This poor, stupid f-ing guy didn't even inherit $30 million. He fell for a Nigerian prince-type email scam. They were on the way to meet some mystery lawyer at the airport. The lawyer doesn't exist.
Good Lord.
You can't fix stupid.
Well, you
on both ends, her and him.
Yeah, that was crazy. I did not see that plot twist at the end.
I sure didn't.
Yeah, that. Well, I mean, maybe I should have, because North Dakota, where does $30 million coming from? Like, maybe I should have been like
money everywhere.
Yeah, that is that's hey, that's tough, dude.
Yeah, that was so messed up. I'm like, oh man, that
dude got killed.
Crazy on all parts.
Yes.
And I know she got to feel like the stupidest person in the world, mm-hmm. man. And it's crazy how money he ain't even had the money. It was a scam. And just knowing how
the idea
people
of money.
Act mm-hmm. with the idea of you being rich.
Which is why, number one, don't tell nobody. Right? Like, you happen to come into some money, keep that to yourself. But, that ain't for everybody.
But you know how scary this is? And I know they were boyfriend and girlfriend, mm-hmm. and they was together for 10 years, which is a long time. But, man, you can't even tell your significant other.
Yeah. And about early on, a couple things were pretty funny. He basically said that she ain't much to look at either.
Yeah, I was like, is this detail necessary?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I imagine what he was trying to establish is that she thought that he would leave her if he had some money and could get to a different life or something.
Yeah. And I had to make sure, I think maybe this might be a Reggie thing. I had to make sure this was a real story.
No, I'm glad that I'm having this affair.
Yeah. So I put the link of the real story for Reggie only.
Thank you.
And then the other funny part to me is when you first said, he went missing after inheriting $30 million. I said, a lot of people would do that.
That's what I thought.
Including maybe me.
That's what I thought. I thought he got that $30 million, like, peace out.
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm going somewhere else and get a hotter chick with this.
That's what she thought. She was like, oh, yeah, this is what I would do. Mm-hmm. I did not appreciate that we still slandering my people. With the Nigerian prince. Like, that wasn't even
a
prince
involved. Is it slander, really?
It wasn't even a prince involved.
But that was
there's
a
lot of people out here scamming. Hey. Nigerians ain't the only ones scamming.
Where but do you see most of these coming from?
Actually, nowadays.
But see, that
I don't want to start being prejudiced by naming other places, but actually, it's not really Nigeria.
But that was the scam he came across, though.
Yeah.
But, man, that's...
I take offense. I don't care if it's true.
You should take offense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Another crazy story that I didn't really see this little detail coming into play. So shout out to I forgot who it is, but we do have a listener that be listening to us all the way in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so shout out to him. I forgot his name. He'll probably text in. But okay. Here's a wild story from Fox 5 in D.C. on a lot of robberies that have been going on in the area lately. Mm-hmm.
One of those robberies happening right here near the Noma Gallaudet U New York Avenue Metro Station. Riders tell me as they get off trains that they can't believe that the suspect is 12 years old. Police say the 12-year-old and a group of juveniles were out here on the 200 block of M Street Northeast trying to steal someone's bike but snatching their groceries instead and running away around 7:45 last Wednesday night. Around just 20 minutes later, someone is riding a scooter on the Metropolitan Branch Trail near the 1300 block of 2nd Street Northeast. Detectives say the 12-year-old girl and a group of juveniles grabbed the rider's book bag, stealing the scooter and a cell phone. And then this past Sunday, that's when police tracked down one of the suspects, that 12-year-old girl, charging her with all the robberies. People who live in the neighborhood are shocked that the suspect is so young.
God, where her mother at? Where this little girl mother at? Where they role models at? Where's the adults? That's the question we all trying to figure out.
12-year-old girl.
A girl, a little girl.
12-year-old girl going around robbing folks.
Is it that bad in D.C.?
I don't know, but that is really wild, man.
I didn't see that part coming. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing, a 12-year-old boy, and that's kind of crazy
it,
as itself.
Is it different?
But a 12-year-old girl.
Different. Yeah, it feels different.
Yeah, I can't sit here and be like, oh, that's not shocking that a 12-year-old girl. Yeah.
Apparently, since I'm Nigerian and we are all scam artists, I should make note. Does feel like that'd be a great cover for the scam, right? Yeah. Right? If you was got out here scheming,
yeah,
a little 12-year-old girl gonna do it.
I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't have been shocked if it was a 12-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Because it'd be some young boys out here that's
right.
rolling around like they grown. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't have shocked. I was shocked to hear it was a 12-year-old girl cause a havoc like this.
The thing that I was actually most shocked at is, like, there seemed to be no real point. It seemed like she was just robbing to rob. Because at the first one, correct me if I'm wrong, said that she was trying to steal a bike but then just took the groceries. Yeah. She was just like, whatever, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Just give me whatever. I need it.
Yeah. She said, hey, this is fun.
She might just be doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah. Hey, this is fun. Forget the Barbie dolls and all that stuff. I'm about to start going around taking people's stuff.
Yeah.
She's like, I can take a bike. Or maybe some arugula. I don't know.
Whatever you got, I'm taking it.
Hey, I'm just going in people's pockets.
Arugula.
We got baby girl Debo over here just taking anything. Let me get that.
That's my bike, punk.
Yeah.
It's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We talked about D'Amico Ryans earlier kind of being out because of a little personal situation going on. But before I get to that and my little thoughts and prayers, I think D'Amico Ryans was up in New York.
What?
I think he was at, I want to say, Aaron Glenn's press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see this?
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't. Yeah, what did Aaron Glenn do?
Yeah, so Aaron Glenn, I think he talked to the media yesterday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little backstory. It's a guy by the name of Rich Cimini,
mm-hmm.
who tweeted this out. He said, bad news for the Jets offense. Wide receiver Garrett Wilson is expected to miss at least 3 to 4 weeks with a knee sprain. Mm-hmm. Sources say good news is no surgery, just rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aaron Glenn was a little, you could tell he was a little bit upset. And I heard D'Amico Ryans, he was actually in a little media scrum.
Oh, wow.
So here is the media asking Aaron Glenn about the injury to Garrett Wilson.
I'm going to pass on talking about injuries. Since Rich, he's not here, has all the answers, so you guys can get all the injuries from Rich.
Love it, love it.
Ask Rich. Well, I'm telling you to ask Rich. Well, you better call him.
Love it, love it.
No disrespect to you or Rich, but like, we want to hear from you. You know, like,
You guys have been hearing from me, but now since we're just reporting stuff, you know, that I haven't said, then maybe you should ask him.
Thanks, everybody. See you on the
field. Way to finish. Way to finish. Love it. Let's go.
Way to finish.
I think he really appreciates Aaron Glenn.
I think you're probably right.
We're talking about injuries and the media reporting things and all that stuff.
Way to finish. Good finish.
Love it. Love it.
Hilarious. For anyone who does not get that, D'Amico was not there. That was good editing, but that is hilarious.
Wait, what you mean he was there?
Oh, my bad.
He was in the back. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you got it.
But yeah, I think D'Amico Ryans might really appreciate that. I don't know. Did they play together at some point or cross paths?
Ooh, that's
Aaron Glenn and D'Amico?
I think they might have just
missed each other.
Might have just missed.
Okay, because I was going to say, I know he probably called
D'Amico
Aaron Glenn.
D'Amico was 06. Glenn was 2-6. So maybe 1 year.
Okay. If they cross paths at any point, I'm sure D'Amico hit them up like, man, I feel you on that, man. I'm going through the same damn thing down here.
How'd you do it?
He says, since Rich just want to be reporting and stuff, he's literally a reporter. Aaron, what are we doing?
Yeah, so I'm sure D'Amico is probably like, man, I should have did that.
Yeah.
Coaches just hate that stuff.
D'Amico's going to come back. He's like, I was watching tape of Aaron Glenn. I got a new move in my bag.
He's going to be saying, oh, as Aaron.
Yeah. Oh, no, not him.
as DJ.
Okay,
since he want to be out here reporting.
Better.
Yeah. Hey, go call him up. Yeah, go ask him since he know everything.
Oh, man.
All right, in all seriousness, salute to D'Amico Ryans.
Right.
So he is away from the team right now. I think he's going up to some type of I don't even know how to phrase it. I'm not sure what it is. I don't want to put all the business and stuff out there.
The only reason I felt comfortable saying this, because I think he said this in one of his availabilities, mm-hmm. that obviously that, you know, he'd be there Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I believe with some level of ceremony or whatever, just being there for the late Earl Cochran, who was a former Texan and teammate of D'Amico's.
And one of his best friends.
One of his best friends, yeah. Both from Bessemer, Alabama. So, like, you know, the
big
passing,
Bessemer.
Passing of Earl Cochran very much hit him. And I know that they kind of won the game for the Gipper in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that Nick Caserio gave him the game ball.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, battling through the hurt that he had. So he's taking that time. And so we just wanted to obviously send the in loop thoughts and prayers there.
Yep. Yeah. And then also, special salute to the one and only Tim Kelly. Because what's the news we got, Lopez, on Tim Kelly?
Tim Kelly has been named the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants.
Man, I didn't even know he was there.
Which, if you like conspiracy theories.
Uh-oh, reckless speculation.
Uh-oh. And you know I do. Tim Kelly is a Bill Belichick guy. He is a, yeah.
You think he's setting the groundwork so Big Bill could come out of North Carolina?
Start, you know, a little more of a fluid transition. One of those things.
Return right. Hey, yeah. here he comes yeah. From the top of MetLife Stadium. Like, by God, that's Bill Belichick music.
Wait a minute, is that white smoke? Yes.
Wait a minute. Belichick. Is that Bill Belichick? My God.
Has been rumored.
It has been rumored. Yeah. It has. And, he, of course, in true Bill Belichick fashion, he gave you essentially on Cincinnati.
To Wake Forest.
Yeah, and I can see Bill Belichick just doing that as a middle finger to the Jets, by the way, because he can't stand the Jets. Mm-hmm.
I mean, seems like seems like the media can't either at this point. But there you go. That is the mixtape on this Wednesday in loop on Sports Radio 610 at 1:20 p.m. every weekday. We do that at the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something mixtape worthy. And shout out to Madison, who I believe is our D.C. listener.
Yeah, salute to Madison.
Yeah, shout out to Madison. All right. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. Before we get there, there's some, we mentioned some of the news that we've gotten from practice. I want to talk about that because there's some interesting things, including we now seemingly know what the landscape is with the offensive line. What are you looking to see? We'll talk about all that next.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you rocking with us here on this Wednesday. Been a good one to this point. Let's finish it out strong, right, D'Amico? and then we'll hand things off to the fellas of the drive. When they jump in here in a moment. I will position this as such, John Lopez.
And that
most
is?
Significant news, as there's a lot of that coming out. Wednesday is one of those days where we really get almost a news dump of sorts, find out where the team is as of the week, and they head towards, you know, they get over that hump, and they're headed towards Sunday. This week it's in Nashville versus the Tennessee Titans. We mentioned a few things. Obviously, C.J. Stroud. Did not practice today. I imagine that means he's still in concussion protocol. Not said specifically, but that seems to be what the indication would be there. So that would seem to me to mean that he's not playing, but obviously that's interpretation and not actual text as of right now. Also, you have Cade Stover, who is both practicing and designated for return.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he plays this weekend? I don't know. And then I'll also put up here the idea that Miles Bryant, the defensive back that was elevated from the practice squad, I think during training camp, he was one of the guys who was behind Jalen Petrie, kind of playing that role. He has been signed to the 53-man roster while CJ and Jalen Petrie are still both out with concussion. So with that being the case, those or maybe one of the other pieces of news that we've talked about to this point, which of those is the most significant to you?
Boy, that's a really good question. Obviously, the easy answer is C.J. Stroud. Just significant in terms of. I mean, you know, he's the franchise quarterback. You want him out there, etc. That said, and I'm going to do the thing that you know a lot of people don't like to do over in that building. You're playing Tennessee, and Davis Mills is coming off a really good game, a really good finish to a game as well. So I'm not going to say C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
I'm curious on Titus Howard. Titus Howard being back, I think, is the most significant news. But I'm curious on Trent Brown. For the first time all year, maybe the first time in a year plus, kind of interested to see what this offensive line looks like. You know, in terms of if you do get Trent Brown at right tackle, Titus at left. Oh, by the way, Ed Ingram back too.
Yes.
Yeah, you said that. So you get the best version, I'm saying with a question mark, of this offensive line that we've seen in a long time, if Trent Brown can play at right tackle.
Yeah, these are the questions that we were asking. What five would you go with if they are injury free and optimized here? This team is going to have to make that decision. And I am super interested to see what they land on, because as not saying that I would know the absolute best. I feel like if I knew the absolute best in a lot more situations, I'd make a lot more money than I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't I don't think I know exactly what the optimal situation of the way they go out with it. I'm still trying to figure out which one, what I feel the best about, whether it's remaining, keeping Titus Howard in a place where he's played incredibly well and clearly is your best right tackle, or is that kind of trying to lessen the lower end of your offensive line play by having him move around and maybe have Trent Brown there, despite the fact that he had some reps that were a little dicey in that game. I then put it to this team where typically you go, these are the guys that work in the NFL. They should make good decisions. I'm not sold on
that. No, that's a given right now in terms of the offensive line, the decisions they make. That's a given that you can question their decision making. I mean, as recently as this past Sunday. What I think, and keep, I thought it was going to be a stretch for Trent Brown to even play four quarters on Sunday. But he played better in the second half than the first half.
Yeah.
He really did. And I found myself feeling and find myself feeling much more comfortable with him at right tackle. We know Ed Ingram has had a good year, much to some people's surprise, including us here in this room. So if I wouldn't have a problem. I think it would be the best version of the offensive line if you put that out there with Titus Howard at left guard.
You know what's funny? Even considering your competition, it still does not solidify for me, because you have Arden Key returning, like we heard from Ron Slay when we were talking to him. You have Jeffrey Simmons returning, and so do I go, I want my better player on the perimeter for the edge rushers that it seems like they're, you know, getting better when it comes to the Tennessee Titans, or Jeffrey Simmons in the middle? Is it like, hey, let me get this big body in here who can handle this the strength that Jeffrey Simmons will bring? I don't know which way you go. I'd be very, very intrigued to see what it is that they ultimately get to. And hopefully we have some people that are out there. I believe I got to check and see if B. Scott's out there and see just kind of what the initial looks were on, you know, what the line was. Obviously not that would tell us absolutely where they go to.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you, especially with the love that you've had for the tight end situation.
No, that's my second choice.
Idea of Kate Stover.
Yeah, Kate Stover is another big one. That's the next one I was going to mention. I feel, you know, how much is that going to affect, you know, Blake Fisher in the so-called jumbo package?
Yeah.
And certainly help them, you know, in the receiving game, and maybe given another, you know, sort of option out there besides Dalton Schultz. No, those would be my absolute number one, two. Offensive line, very intriguing. And again, I can't believe I'm saying those words, because how bad and weird this offensive line has been for more than a year now. But that would be number one. Kate Stover, that's a big get. That's a big get right there.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued, and we'll continue to walk this out and talk this out over the remainder of the week and probably into next week, coming off of the Titans game, once they actually do get a chance to put him out there. Because again, the window is open. He's designated for return. I don't think that inherently means that this will be the week that you see him. But when he does, it'll tell us a lot about whether the six-man offensive line thing is a thing that they did largely out of necessity, or if this has become a thing almost like the thing that I likened to, which was the double big for the Rockets.
Yeah, yeah.
If this is something that they found, they go, actually, we kind of like when we do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like, in theory, when you use two tight ends, you can have a little bit more deception to you.
You can.
Right? There's a possibility that both of these tight ends go in actually in routes, and that there's some ability to strike as opposed to them just kind of staying in. So, yeah, I'm very intrigued by what that actually looks like when they get to it. But funny enough, significant thing for me is Miles Bryant. The depth that they have in the defensive backfield matters. Now, of course, I guess Miles Bryant was on the practice squad and he still had another elevation, so this was going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
But the waning depth in the secondary, especially with Jalen Petrie still seemingly in the concussion protocol, I think that matters, especially now. And we know what it looks like when a team has an opportunity to kind of prepare for what's there.
Yeah.
Now, the Titans aren't preparing to a point where they make this Texans defense look bad, but I'm not sure that I'm so sold on Tremont Smith on the outside or whatever at cornerback that I'm just like, yeah, everything is fine. I think that I would like for them to have a little bit more depth there, and I think that Miles Bryant provides some of that.
Well, and doesn't help that Jalen Petrie is out as
well.
And so Jalen Petrie being out, it ties into what you're talking about there. That's absolutely a concern, but I think there's more good news than bad, and that's weird when you realize that C.J. Stroud didn't practice. But earlier in the week, I think it was Monday, but
that is technically earlier in the week.
I think it was DJ Bienemy said still experiencing symptoms.
He said that Aaron Wilson has confirmed it with his reporting as well. Mm-hmm. Still experiencing symptoms early in the week for CJ Stroud, which it's weird because in my you know, kind of analysis of it, I was like, I feel like actually I think CJ Stroud, if he gets another week where he can kind of sit
and, I thought so too.
And observe it. Now that I have the news, my worrying, anxiety riddled brain goes, wait, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Will he be out of the protocol for the Bills game? Right? Like, that's where my brain went.
That's only 4 days later, 5 days.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't like that I'm like this. I'm sure that you're listening and you're like, come on, Reggie. I don't like that I'm like this either. But now that becomes a thing that comes into the fore, because assuming he doesn't clear the protocol for this week, you are very, very quickly on, you know, turning around and welcoming in the Buffalo Bills. And that, as you we talked about to start the show, is one of those games that could also be incredibly pivotal in the season.
Yeah, and, you know, symptoms. To me, had I not heard that earlier and he was not practicing today, I was like, okay, maybe just they want any hits on him or whatever.
Sure.
But still being symptomatic on Monday, that ain't a great sign for him playing.
Right, and we don't know if it was Monday or yesterday.
Well, it was reported Monday, right.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what it ultimately looks like. But, yeah, that's – that's a thing that we have to keep an eye on. It does appear, I think, if I'm just taking a guess off of the reporting that we've gotten right now, and we'll see what is said by the coordinators who are talking today. They moved things around, I imagine, to accommodate D'Amico Ryans. We'll see if the coordinators might give us any level of insight into what's happening there, if guys still remain in the protocol or not. And I know exactly where you'll get that information when it comes down. It's with the fellas of the drive. So we appreciate D&M Auto Leasing for the opportunity.
Look it up.
For the opportunity.
Look it up.
To crosstalk with the fellas. That's Ron, the show, Hughley, making light of the fact that, yeah, are we assuming, I don't think that it's fair to assume that we're going to get this information.
Why don't you call DJ?
Yeah, we probably should. Hey, DJ, what you got? What you got?
Ask here? Him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.